Mega Z Show.
Coming at you.
I guess that can be our intro now.
I said coming at you live, but it's pre-recorded.
Well, I mean, it's live on the recordings.
Yeah.
Technically, it's accurate.
It's live for us.
No, that should be the intro now. It's like, live for me and Chase.
Yeah.
And so, Chase.
Yes.
When you think about action movies, what are the movies that usually come to mind for you?
Okay, well, I I think about two sets of action films, and well, one's like one that was kind of, well, action films kind of get put in there with like horror films for me too, because they're almost growing up. You would go to the video rental store and there would be the action section, and it'd be all, you know, the covers were like explosions, guys looking badass on the cover, and
you know, ripped muscles and usually denim, like cut denim jackets and things like that. And
yeah, and it was kind of taboo because, you know, they were mostly all action movies and all horror movies were rated R until they started making PG-13 ones, which every time I see an action movie, I'm like, man, that looks really cool. When all of a sudden I find out it's PG-13, I'm like, no, it's not going to, it's going to suck.
Yeah, that's always a big disappointment for me when I get interested in a movie that I think pretty good, and then I realize it's a PG-13 sort of, like,
excited about the new Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington movie because it's rated R.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, I there's still no guarantee that it's going to be great, but I mean, of course, there are exceptions to this. You know, there were, you know, any of the Roland Emmerich movies like Independence Day or Stargate, both of which were PG-13 movies, and both of which are pretty solid action films in their own right.
Yeah, but that goes into like sci-fi action, and you can get away with PG-13 with sci-fi action because it's not, with a sci-fi action film, you're going to want a lot of scientific mystery and things like that. You're not really watching that movie for,
well, and with Independence Day, the initial thing was you wanted to see the White House get destroyed, and why is it being destroyed?
Yeah.
Because that was like the big selling point in the trailer was that it was like, look at this shit blow up.
Yeah, my box, my VHS box had like one of those things where you can move it back and forth.
Yeah, Yeah, I remember that. I had that same one. Like, I don't want to dwell too much on the negative on this one, just because our last two podcasts were so seeped in negativity.
It's going to be hard. Like, Independence Day kind of means a lot to me because I saw it in theaters. I was in sixth grade. I saw it on July 3rd. it was like such an epic, awesome theater experience. And I'm not really getting that these days. And I'm sorry, Max, this is going to be a negative podcast too, because we're so bitter at the fact that things, like half the movies that they're remaking everything. They're remakes.
They very much are. Well, and I mean, yeah, my point about it not wanting this to be a negative podcast, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's going to be hard because we have a lot of things to rant about that bother us about action films these days. But, you know, there's also a lot of positivity that comes out of it because it's a genre that you and I both love.
The only action movies that come out these days that I enjoy are ones that are harking back to the days of yore.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And a lot of that, and there was a really good, the AV Club did a really good review of the remake of Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, they kind of really sort of put into words exactly what I had been feeling for a really long time, is that the reason why action movies nowadays just aren't as good as they used to be is because, you know, now you can make digital explosions and CG, I don't know, aliens and all this other stuff. Whereas you watch a movie like Total Recall and explosions are real, and Independence Day, even though Independence Day definitely had a lot of CG going on, they also made real aliens for it, and you know, all this other stuff.
Yeah, but it's like green screen. Like, I think the explosions were real. It's just they put the explosions in places they weren't. So, like,
There are, to some extent. They would film them elsewhere and then kind of find a way to, you know, sort of put it into the movie. But
I'm sure they blew up a White House, but it wasn't the White House.
Well, obviously, it was a model that they blew up, but
it's still blowing up something. Because sometimes when I watch, like, I just watched Bay of Blood, mm-hmm. and the Mario Bava film.
Yeah.
Like the blood doesn't look real, but it feels more authentic. Like, yeah, it's like it looks more like the blood in like The Godfather, you know? Like,
yeah.
When the blood runs down his eye, you're like, that's not real. But it feels more authentic just because, you know, it's liquid running down his face. It's actually physical. Like, like, even if like the corn, the like makeup and stuff doesn't look as real as like as detailed as like the CG stuff, it still has that physical touch to where you can see the light reflecting against it, which the CG just doesn't not have, because they can emulate the light. Oh my god,
easy, but yeah,
they can emulate the light, and yeah, there's a lot of, like, some of my favorite graphics in video games aren't graphics that are like real detailed and blah blah blah. My favorite graphics are the ones that get lighting right. Like, I love good lighting, even if the graphics aren't like super detailed. Like, I almost don't notice it because of the lighting. And
well, you're a photographer at heart, and that's probably a big reason why. It's very true that, you know, like what you were saying, it's the tangible element, at least for me, with the older action films that always, you know, drew me to them, whether it was Die Hard or Terminator 2 or, I don't know, even Speed for that matter. They were all solid action films because you knew that they were crashing the fuck out of that bus into an airplane, or, you know, Bruce Willis, well, not Bruce Willis, but somebody actually set off a shitload of explosives in the lobby of that building in Die Hard.
No, Bruce Willis did that shit.
Yeah, Bruce Willis totally did that. And Arnold really did lower himself into a pit of lava at the end of Terminator 2.
And it wasn't lava, it was molten steel.
Molten, yeah, you're right, molten steel. My bad. Or, you know, it was Ripley actually walking in that robot suit at the end of Aliens or something like that.
Brings me to a point. See my finger?
Yeah, I see your finger.
It brings me to a point. Like my nose. Aliens versus Predator. The reason Aliens versus Predator does not work, it works in fan art, it works in posters,
It works in theory similar to communism.
Yeah, it works as like a poster, as like Alien. Maybe it would work in like Mortal Kombat. It works in a battle scene. It works in that moment. But as a full film, it doesn't
work. Right, little bursts, basically, is when it works.
Yeah, but it doesn't work as a film because Predator is an action movie and Alien is a sci-fi horror. The reason Freddy vs. Jason worked so well is because they're both horror movies. Specifically, they're both slasher movies.
and you know, that's very true. Even with the Alien, with all the Alien movies, you know, all four of them, you know, I guess really only Aliens is the one that's really just a straight up action flick with a minor in horror.
It still has that horror, sci-fi horror feel. It never like gets out of that kind of like creepy dread, like, okay, we're all gonna die. Like, in the Predator movie, when it first started out, you were like, all right, these dudes are gonna kick some ass. You didn't think which one of these dudes are gonna die.
Yeah.
That's how you know the difference between even Aliens, even though it's more action than Alien, when it first started out and you see the guys, you started picking out, you started feeling some of these guys are going to die. In the Predator, when it first started out, you thought, which one of these guys are going to kick ass? So that's the difference in the action movie and a horror movie in a nutshell.
It is, and you know, and Alien, and the fact that Alien versus Predator sort of got boiled down to a buddy cop movie in a way, with Predator teaming up with one of the humans to destroy the aliens. It was just like, yeah, no.
And I thought that what's his face, the guy that.
Oh, Lance Henriksen.
Yeah. He, why the fuck would they cast him? Because he played a character that died. That was a freaking android, like, robot symbiote in Aliens. Why would they cast him? Bishop.
Because he was Bishop.
Why would they cast him as another character?
Because... It makes people happy, right?
I mean, I don't have anything against.
I agree. If you're gonna cast him in Alien vs. Predator, you might as well just make him, you know, be another Bishop robot.
Yeah, but anyway, that's why it doesn't work because when Aliens vs. Predator came out, you're like, oh, this is gonna be badass, and then all of a sudden you find that was PG-13. You're like, eh. But then you're like, it's still gonna be badass, but then. It's still going to feel more like one or the other. So, it tried to be Predator. It tried to be Aliens, and all it seemed to be was like a lackluster, like boring version of both. But more.
Yeah, it really was, and you know, it's hard to really explain exactly, or it's hard to. Well, I guess maybe it isn't. The reason, I think a big reason why the action genre went so far off the rails after the 90s.
Is because of cars. Not the movie Cars, like the actual physical thing that people thought action movies should always deal with cars.
Well, not just that. I mean, yeah, we could get into a debate about Fast and Furious, the Fast and the Furious, but a lot of it also just had to do with the fact that we're living in a post 9/11 world now, and honestly a lot of the movies that we grew up with, like Die Hard or Independence Day or something like that,
had to do with terrorism and like people were
unrealistic terrorism, you know, alien terrorism from white Germans who really are just petty thieves. And you know, I think on a subconscious or not even that subconscious of a level, like audiences would just go to the movie theater and look at the screen and say bullshit. And, you know, I don't blame them for that per se, but at the same time, if you went into an action movie in the 90s and expected it to be anything more than it, at best, really clever escapism like Die Hard, or Terminator 2, or Aliens, then, or to a lesser extent, Speed, then you were just sort of fooling yourself. That's just not a good way to view the films at all. At least not to me, because I feel like if you're going to go see one of these movies, then the whole purpose of seeing them is to be entertained.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm just not entertained by watching a guy run in front of what is clearly a green screen and an explosion that was clearly added in post-production, so he's not reacting to anything.
One of the biggest gripes with me is the fact that I completely forgot what my biggest gripe was in the middle of the sentence. It's still negative, man. We're still like
it is, but that's okay. If we spend tonight, because we're not going to get the whole thing tonight. If we spend tonight just sort of griping, that means we can, when we come back later, we can talk about some of the things that we really do like about this, and even possibly bring up some modern.
We're talking about things that is no more, so we're going to like man, how we're going to get to where we geek out is if we go see an awesome movie and then we talk about it that night. We're like, yeah, man, this movie's awesome.
which we will get to do at some point. But my
hurt my toe.
Your poor toe. But
my po toe.
Your po toe. Your potato.
My potato.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, like you just said, we're talking about things that are no more, so it's depressing, but at the same time, you know, just because they're, you know, you can't stop that.
Okay, if Max laughs for no reason, it's because I'm making crazy faces into the video. And you can't see it because you're not privileged enough. Like, not like my friend Max. He's got the privilege of seeing me stretch my lips.
Yes. Yes, I do.
It's really, really wrong. On so many levels.
So very wrong on all levels. But anyway, like I was saying, like you gonna be okay?
Maybe.
Anyway, so my point is that you were just saying that, you know, these are things that are no more and that we're sort of, I guess, more or less dwelling on the past, but at the same time, you know, movies, at least modern movies, are forever. You know, we've got DVDs and Blu-rays and Netflix and Hulu and all that other fine stuff. And
the positive side of digital media is the fact that, you know, Aiden can grow up with, like, say, watching the original G.I. Joe when, like, in, if he was born in, like, when we were in high school, then he would not get to grow up with that stuff because there was no way for him to watch it.
Yeah, but he would eventually get to experience it on some level because then he would be old enough to know what a, you know, what a DVD is.
Yeah, but still, like, he can grow up with it. Like, it, like, we don't have cable or we don't have satellite. We just have Netflix, and he watches stuff that I watched.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, but as far as, like, an action like the action film genre goes, you know, I think we're seeing more and more people who are younger than us go sort of seek out the older things, because I think they're getting tired of the CG effect, the CG-ness of an action movie. Can you honestly think of the last time you went and saw a movie that was supposed to be like a huge blockbuster in the theater and were completely blown away by it? It was probably Independence Day.
Yeah. But that's probably the last time I've seen a big blockbuster in the theater. We need our summer back. Our summer action movies back. Every time I see, like, the summer movie, action movie, and it's all the same shit. It's another freaking Superman movie. It's another fucking Fast and the Furious. It's...
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, you know, the Avengers was good, and I'm not going to complain too much about the superhero films, because a lot of them I enjoy, but at the same time, you're kind of right. Like, we don't have, you know, the summer.
I'm so biased against the new Superman movie just because I don't...
I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really comment on it. But I know that
it's like, instead of, like, going with more story, everyone just keeps telling the same stories over and over. Oh, this is okay. We had Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, and now they're doing Spider-Man again, and it's just like,
mm-hmm.
Why can't we just keep it going? And, like, even if it's because. Like, I remember someone was commenting on the Blair Witch 2, and we were like, oh, everyone hated it, but they were going in a different direction, and that's what I liked about it, because it was doing something new. And I was like, well, I can respect that, but the fact of the matter is, I really believe that movie was an original idea, and then at the very end, they were like, we really need to sell this thing, So they tied in Blair Witch references and put it into the script, and then made it a Blair Witch sequel when it wasn't. And if it wasn't a Blair Witch sequel, I would probably like the movie, because it's somewhat unique. I mean, it's pretty bad. It's not that good of a movie, but if it was, like, say, if it was just called Book of Shadows, and it didn't have nothing to do with Blair Witch, and it was just about people going in the woods, and they're, like, doing something, and, like, films changing, and I was like, I would probably like it, like, back then.
Right, that's kind of that's actually kind of the same argument that people have about Halloween 3. It's like, you know, if the movie was just called Season of the Witch, which is a horrible title, then people would probably like it more. But because it has the Halloween in the title, and it, you know, and it has, it's sequential, it's in sequential order, you know, it's the third one, people disliked it because it doesn't have Michael Myers in it. And as far as the second Blair Witch movie goes, there's actually a whole story about that, about, you know, the production of that movie. The guy who directed it wanted to actually do something kind of original with it, but the studio fought him on every single thing, and he lost almost every single battle, and that's why we have the piece of shit that we have now.
So my actual hunch is sort of right.
Yeah, sort of.
But yeah, like, but the thing about
it was intended to be a legitimate Blair Witch sequel. The studio just fucked it up on every level.
Oh. But, and I don't mind it being not found footage, because...
No, I don't either.
And for one, people were like, oh, the Blair Witch is boring, and blah, blah, blah. A lot of people... The whole Blair Witch if Blair Witch is a good movie is another argument altogether. But I think people are looking at it wrong. I don't see Blair Witch Project as a horror movie, because it's not about the Blair Witch. It's not about, like, getting scared. It's about people cracking under pressure. It's about people. It's not about ghosts or witches or even even fear. It's not about the fear of the audience. It's about the fear within the characters.
Yeah, and you know, I think the reason you keep coming back to Blair Witch a little bit is just because it has sentimental value for the both of us, because it was one of those movies that we sort of fell in love with as teenagers, because it was, you know, let's not forget how popular it was when we were coming along.
Well, it was really popular before it came out, and... Well, I mean, I guess it was kind of popular afterwards, but we were almost in complete opposition to everyone else. Everyone else that we, like, even our friends, like, hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were the only ones that really liked it. And
yeah, we were in a small group of people who actually enjoyed it, and I still enjoy it. It's still an eerie movie, to say, to, you know, give it some credit.
Yeah.
But... But you're right. There, it's more about, you know, the slow disintegration of these people.
But my point of bringing this up is, Blair Witch is kind of like having a sequel to the Blair Witch Project. It's kind of like having a sequel to Pulp Fiction. It's like there's no real point. Like I miss sequels to where there. It's almost like watching a TV series with hour-and-a-half movie-length episodes.
Yeah. And you know, just to sort of bring it back around to where we started with action films, you know, you've got, in some, you know, in the rare case where the sequel is better than the first one, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great movie. There's no denying that that is a great movie.
And that happens with action movies, and that's kind of why I like Expendables and how it kind of harks back at the old style. The sequel is better than the original.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I haven't seen the sequel, but I'm sure it is. I enjoyed the original.
Well, the only reason that is good is because it has all the old guys in it, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the guys, you got Jason Statham, whatever, but I don't hate him. I just hate some of... Like, I actually really liked him in The Expendables. So, like, he's... That means if you put him in a good action movie, I would probably like him. But, like, some of the other movies that he's been in, I just can't get into it, like Transporter and stuff.
I actually recommend Crank and Crank 2. I mean, they're trashy movies, but they're not... They don't try to be anything but trashy films.
I've heard about him. Is that him?
Yeah, that's Jason Statham.
Okay.
But, I recommend that movie, but what I'm trying to say is that you know, you make a good point in that, you know, the action movie seems to be somewhat of an exception to the sequel being worse than the first one, because many times they have a tendency to be, if not necessarily better, then definitely more geared towards pleasing the audience, because they want to give you more of what made the first one work.
And for there to be a sequel, the first movie has to be set up for a sequel. It has to be set up to be, this is not over yet. And if you have a movie that is clearly over, like it's clearly has a resolution, why the hell am I watching a sequel? It's like, we're doing this again? It's like, yeah. The first one kind of wrapped up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, exactly. You know, that a lot, unfortunately, a lot of action that happens in a lot of other action movie franchises too, where they're just essentially repeating the first one.
But that's kind of why I like the Friday the 13th. I mean, I'm putting horror. We can call this action slash horror because it has to be talked about, because they go to, even though they're totally different, the horror of the 80s and 90s go with the actions. For one, they were taboo for us. We would go into the video store and see the Jason films and the Freddy films and the Halloween films, are like, ooh, we can't go over there. You know, that's a scary section.
And I'll stand by this till the day I die, is that the artwork, especially for horror films, on the home video cases was so much better than the movies themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I pointed this out to a few people, is that, you know, they had to try to sell these pieces of shit, essentially, to people who wanted, you know, were looking for something to do on a Friday night. And the artists that they hired for those, to make those covers, usually probably always made their money's worth because they were really good at their jobs.
Here's a little insight for you about the Friday the 13th films. You have the prequel, which is his mom, Friday the 13th 1. You have the first trilogy is Human Jason 2, 3, and 4. Second trilogy is Zombie Jason 6, 7, and 8. There's a trilogy that's in the middle of this, which overlaps with the other two trilogies, which is the Tommy Jarvis trilogy, which is 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
And you need those connecting movies to make trilogies work. You're like, you can't just watch Friday the 13th Part 2 and be like, that's over. I don't need it anymore. You're like, you want more. You want to figure out what the hell happens next, because you know that something's going to happen next. Like,
right.
If you watch all of them all together, you're like, you'll feel, it feel, almost feels like you watched a season of season one of the Friday the 13th or whatever.
Right.
And the same thing happens for the Freddy movies, too.
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, that's a good way of looking at the Jason movies. Of course, you know, you don't want to necessarily deal with 5, because that one has the cop-out ending.
But, here's the thing about 5. For a long time, I'm going to defend 5 here a second. A long time, everyone hates 5 because, you know, Jason's not in it. But if you just don't think about that, Jason's not. It's still that it's part of the Tommy Jarvis trilogy. If you want to get the Tommy Jarvis story, you're going to have to watch 5, because that's him in the mental hospital.
Right.
So but the thing about 5, it has some of my favorite kills in Friday the 13th history. I mean, some of the kills are freaking awesome. But if you just don't think about that, it's not Jason. It's actually a good slasher movie. Like, I mean, there's nothing really wrong about it other than the fact that it's not Jason. It kind of gets put in there with Blair Witch 2 and Halloween 3. They're not really that bad. It's just they get a stigma attached as Michael Myers is not in it. Jason's not in it. That's not a freaking sequel to Blair Witch.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Although I really don't find Halloween 3 or Book of Shadows to be particularly good movies, even on their own terms, but that's a different argument for later.
I'm not saying it's a good movie. Like, I love Jason movies, but they're not good movies. Like, I'm saying it's sustainable.
Yeah. And I'm okay with people taking that stance on those films, because, you know, my point is somebody put in a lot of hard work, you know, a lot of special effects people put a lot of hard work into getting their work shown on screen, so somebody has to like it at some point.
We need to do an official horror Halloween episode, because it needs to be a official Halloween episode, just like Halloween episodes. Because all my favorite episodes of any series ever is always the Halloween episode, like growing up.
Yeah.
Like, especially cartoons and stuff.
Yeah. Except for the Freaks and Geeks episode. That was just sad.
I still liked it because it was Halloween, and Halloween was awesome. We should dress up for the Halloween episode.
Well, let's dress up for the podcast.
Yes. I really like a movie that starts out in sort of a normal way, and that's kind of how the action movies back then started out. They would start out like how Predator started out. It's like almost two different movies. It started out as like this guerrilla warfare movie, and it went into this sci-fi like monster
hunt. Yeah.
And it goes into like shows like, and these are shows from the 90s, and I like things that start out normal, or normal to an extent, and then the show actually makes you nostalgic in a sense. Like, Josh Whedon, he loves taking something normal and making it completely out of this water, like, throw whatever the fuck at you. I don't want to spoil Cabin in the Fever or
Cabin in the Woods. You know, why haven't we written a movie called Cabin in the Fever yet?
Well, I kind of have Eli Roth on the mind. But which I do. I mean, a lot of people didn't like Hostel, and a lot of people like started like kind of resenting Eli Roth. But I can never stop liking Eli Roth.
Yeah, and it's understandable, but I see where you're going though. Like, but Joss Whedon likes to kind of take, like, with Cabin in the Woods, you know, not to spoil it or anything, but you know, there's that, you know, it is essentially two different movies in a lot of ways.
Because it's funny because the trailer spoils it. So they're supposed to be in the woods, and they're supposed to have some sort of serial killer after you, but they already spoil it that it's some dudes messing with them. What the crap? But that's not the spoiling.
Exactly. And it's kind of, you know, sort of like that. Now, granted, as far as Commando goes, you know, it's what's fun about that movie is that it makes no apologies for its stupidity. Uh-huh. It's just sort of like, hey, here's a montage of Arnold acting normal with his daughter. Oh, he got ice cream on his nose. Oh, he's feeding a deer. Isn't that cute? He's carrying two trees over his shoulders.
Yeah, I love that. I love how that they could play like even a lot of the action, even like Rambo and stuff. Like, I know that Predator and like T2, they had like badass music, but those movies aside, most of the movies like ended with some sort of like lovesick 80s tune.
yeah they did. And see, that's the other thing about Commando is that a lot of movies do this nowadays too, where I think Billy Wilder kind of had this whole thing about how when like rules for screenwriting, and his whole thing is, you know, once the movie's over, it's over. Just end it. There's no point in dragging it on longer.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of movies, you know, don't really follow that rule. But for some reason, Commando does, because it's like, you know, he rescues his daughter, and then he walks out onto the beach, and they're all like, we want you back. He's like, I don't want to come back. And then that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. So he's like...
They basically said, do you want a sequel? He's like, no sequel.
No. And that's all you need. I mean, it's like 89 minutes of pure cinematic action greatness, because it just doesn't take itself seriously and does exactly what it's supposed to do, which is, you know, Arnold going through and killing people.
Yeah.
And, you know, blowing shit up. And it works in almost every regard.
Right. And we do have to have this to be a horror slash action, because they're going to overlap, because a few minutes ago I stated that that the taboo things, well, going into the video store, the taboo section was like the action, because they were more or less rated R.
Yeah.
The horror, because it almost kind of scared you to go over there, you might get scared by the cover. You don't...
Yeah, I mean... And, you know, we were talking about that earlier, and it really is kind of like that, especially and that kind of almost brings up another interesting point, is that back then, you know, action movies had balls back then. You know, once they introduced the idea of the PG-13 action flick, it just all went downhill.
Yeah, but,
I mean, at least to a certain extent. I mean,
I do miss the PG-13 comedies of the 90s, to where, because you can, like movies like Liar Liar and Ace Ventura and stuff, that,
yeah.
Well, basically the Jim Carrey movies, because they can kind of be raunchy, but not, like overly, like, offensive, you know, to where we could watch it, but it still feels like we're doing something bad, you know?
Yeah, it was just innocuous enough for our parents to not care.
Right, and which at first when they would my mom didn't mind me watching Jason movies on TV, since it cut out a lot of the sex, but it normally left the gore in there, because they didn't care back then about that.
they're starting to care even less now. Like, if you watch Hannibal on NBC, you'd be surprised what they're getting away with.
Yeah, and, like, Bones, like, it's pretty, like, not, like, gory like action movies, but, like, when they're operating on people and stuff, mm-hmm. It's really nasty.
Yeah, it really is. And then, you know, something like Dateline will show, you know, footage of a surgery or something, and you're just like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing. Like, people think, like, I want my action movies to be rated R. I want my horror movies to be rated R.
Definitely.
And people are like, oh, you're going to get desensitized. I'm like, no, I'm not. You know why? It's because if I'm playing some violent video game, like, I know I'm playing a video game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're not going to say I'm desensitized, because if I'm watching a Jason movie, I want to see him, like shove a freaking machete in someone's mouth and, like, freaking, yeah. go, you know, and it'd be really gory, but then, yeah. I don't want to watch a fucking surgery, real life surgery is going to get me the heebie-jeebies. That's because I know it's real.
yeah, and I think that there is that's probably a really good distinction, is the fact that, you know, I'm kind of like you, I can sit there and watch, you know, a scene like from High Tension at the beginning where the killer gets a blowjob from a severed head. You're just like, oh, that's silly. But, you know, you see an actual decapitated head in real life, you're like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
You're like, oh, but if someone gets shot, you're just going to be like, oh, well, it's like the video games.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm still going to be like, what the fuck? What the fuck? He's fucking shot. Oh, my God.
What? His chest explode. No, yeah, and I think that is important. Although I do feel like sometimes that people have become somewhat desensitized to violence, but at the same time
desensitized to it in movies.
Yeah, yeah,
like
it's that sort of thing. We've kind of, you know, I think the action movies and horror movies of the 80s and 90s really did sort of help with that. You know, we got kind of, it became commonplace, you know, it's not so shocking anymore to watch somebody, get a blowjob from a severed head, or like with Die Hard, Bruce Willis walking on broken glass barefoot. You know, that was a pretty brutal scene, not for its time. I would think.
And this goes back to the main reason that you wanted to do this whole thing anyway, is that I hate pretentious reviewers. Mm. I think that if you're going to like review movies, you need a team of reviewers, people that have different tastes. I don't want like my point being is I love slasher movies, and then like I love the Friday the 13th series, and like every review I see on any Jason movie, even the ones like Part 3 or something that's considered like a masterpiece of slasher or whatever, is like reviewed horribly. Like, I mean, they don't even put they just put this movie shit, and that's the review.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me, because I remember growing up, I was like, I love Jason movies, but the newspaper gives it 1 star every time. Every time they give it 1 star.
Yeah, and I think it's because at that point, you know, even though bad movies had existed way before then, I think a lot of professional critics just sort of felt like the art of cinema had been brought down to its lowest possible peak with, especially with horror films, because it was, you know, pure exploitation. Whereas
I want that. Like I want to see the movie for what I want to see it. I don't want there to be a lot of backstory. I don't want there to be a lot of art. I want there to just be Jason killing people. That's what I want to see. You know?
Yeah, and I think most fans, that's what they want. You know, when it comes, especially when it comes to slasher flicks, they want the slashing.
Yeah. And like the action movies, it's like sometimes you'll have these action movies now that are trying to be political, or they're trying to have some sort of meaning. They're trying to be like Boondock Saints as being like pseudo religious or whatever. And
right.
Like, I don't want that. I just want to see dudes blowing stuff up for just basic revenge.
Yeah, and I mean, that exactly. Now, that isn't to say that an action movie can't be intelligent. Predator, Die Hard, you know, immediately come to mind.
But they're intelligent because that's what we put on them. Die Hard is basically a movie about a guy that's having to survive, and that's basically it. It's still, yeah, it's made well.
I mean, of course, by nature, the action flick is going to be, you know, sort of quote-unquote dumb.
Yeah.
But they're still in, but within that context, because, you know, you have, with action movies, you have a very macho, you know, overtone to the whole thing for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So, and you don't usually associate intelligence with that sort of stuff, but you still also get movies like Terminator 2, which is a very intelligent action movie, and a decent, at least, sci-fi movie.
And, but still, Terminator 2, probably, when it was made, probably got like a 3 star out of 5, you know, in the thing. But still,
that was one of the more well-reviewed movies. I mean, you know, they do happen. It's just, you know, Rambo never has been one, or I don't know, any random Chuck Norris movie that you can find, and for good reason. They're stupid movies, but
I love them so much.
I do too, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with loving them, because they're stupid and they're entertaining, and they're exactly what we love in movies.
Well, Rambo is sort of intelligent in its own right. I mean,
in its own way, I suppose. But I mean, you got to remember, it was written by Sylvester Stallone, who wrote a lot of his own movies, and he's not always a good writer. I mean, yeah, Rocky, obviously, he wrote that and did a good job with it. But, you know, that benefited from also working with a really good director. We've spent a lot of this time talking and sort of lamenting the death of these two genres in a way, because they're just not, you know, we're like the old fogies. They just don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, I know, like, whenever I see, and that was the point being, is I like movies that progress. Like, it'll start out normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like how Commando was, like, kind of normal. He's just a regular guy, like, retired or whatever. And then he becomes a commando, like, all fucking blazing, like, fucking setting claymores, blowing shit up, just being one taking out an entire army. Like,
yeah.
it goes from normal to, like, outlandish. And a lot of the action movies today just start out outlandish and just stay that way the whole way through. And,
yeah. Well, and, you know, that's a really good example of that, actually, is From Dusk Till Dawn. You know, the Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino experiment.
Someone once told me that what they loved about that movie is how they could tell where Quentin Tarantino started writing and where Robert Rodriguez started to take over. It started
pretty much.
Like a heist movie, a kidnapping, and all of a sudden it became
vampires!
Vampire strippers.
No, vampire whorehouse on top of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that movie is the quintessential. Well, it started one place, but it ended up something way different.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's not necessarily a great movie, but it's fun to watch.
But that's been some of my favorite movies to watch. Like, lately I've been kind of lazy with movies. Like, I've been like there's certain movies that I've wanted to watch, like Melancholia and stuff, and I'm like, I'm not really in the mood for that, because that seems like a movie that probably is emotionally draining and it's going to take some really concentration to watch, and I'm kind of lazy right now. I just want to watch some Jason movies, and that's really all we've been watching is horror.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, that, you know, you gotta, or not necessarily like it, but you have to watch everything at least.
Yeah, it's just lately I've been lazy with it, because like those type of movies do take some time to watch. I have to watch it with no interruptions. And
yeah,
and
side note, I do really recommend Melancholia. It's a good movie.
But we're gonna take a night, or at least a good 4 days, and we're going to watch the Toxic Avenger movies.
Well, and you know, I want to save that for later, because I think we could do an entire podcast on trauma. I'm sure tons of other people have, but they hold a special place in my heart. If you've seen ever any of the other movies that have come out of them, especially Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I love it.
I do too. It's a fantastic movie.
The popcorn, oh my god, it's so awesome.
Yeah, and Terra Firma is also really good. If you get a chance to check that out, do.
And that's another thing. It's like, Troma makes these movies that are quintessential just bad movies, because that's what they want to do. And they're not going to be like, we have to make movies that are emotionally gripping and like we have to like push the make a breakthrough. You're like, no, we just want to make freaking crazy ass fucking shit.
Actually, yeah, and well, and it's interesting though, because you know that's where they found that they can make the most money. I mean, Lloyd Kaufman is nothing but is nothing if not a complete advertising whore. I mean, you watch any Troma movie, and they usually put commercials for Troma in the middle of the movie as plot points, usually. And it's highly entertaining, but at the same time, they actually did start out to try to be this sort of like art house distribution company that helped the small independent films get a chance to be seen.
Yep.
And
that's about right.
Yeah, about right, boy. And an interesting bit of trivia that I don't think a lot of people realize is that Troma in the 80s helped distribute My Dinner with Andre. Like, they were one of the companies that helped get that movie, you know, in the theaters and seen, and Lloyd Kaufman even has a credit on the movie as an associate or line producer or something.
That's cool.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, we kind of got off on a tangent there.
I don't know when we're going to start like talking about things of the present, but I think we have to get all this stuff of us talking about where we come from. I mean, we're only on our third episode. I mean, we've been doing this for, like, since spring, and we've only got three episodes. We really need to get the ball going, you know?
Yeah, we do, and we can, and I agree, we need to start talking about more modern things, but I think we need to get our griping out of the way first.
Yeah, but it's showing where we stand and where we come from.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I don't want to give the wrong impression that we're anti-modern films. Very far from it. It's just that, you know, when we say they don't make them like they used to, we mean it.
I mean, they literally don't make them. They used to, like, record on film, and they used to, you know, have to actually blow up cars, and now they don't. And
yeah.
I just watched Drive, and I loved it, and I'm sure that there was some CGI in there, you know?
Yeah.
It's
not as much as you would think, though. The director is one of the more... he just kind of does it. He likes to do things a little more old school, sort of, at least. And then... But interestingly enough, though, like, we went... Like, Colleen and I went and saw Pacific Rim not too long ago, like, last week. And it was fantastic. Like, seriously, one of the best movies I've seen in a while.
Well, that's cool, because I was actually wanting to see that.
Yeah, and...
I might rent it on Vudu.
Yeah, and the reason why it worked was, yeah, it's a CG fest, but Guillermo del Toro knows that, you know, you can't rely on the CG to be the story. It has to help tell the story.
Right.
And...
It's something similar that George Lucas once said.
Yeah, it is similar to what George Lucas said, except we all know where that ended up.
Yeah. I said he once said that.
Yes, once being the key word here.
Yeah, he said that at the beginning of my VHS copy of Empire Strikes Back.
Irony. But, yeah, it...
Oh, on a side note, did you know that they re-released the DuckTales video game onto PC?
Really?
Yeah.
That was a good game.
Well, anyway,
but,
go ahead.
But, yeah. anyway, like, I think we can kind of bring our discussion to a close here just because I think they kind of get the idea now that we just miss the old way that action and horror films were made. I prefer, you know, physical effects to a computer.
Like I said before, even if it looks kind of fake, I like it more because I know, even this is going to sound weird, but even though it's fake, I still know it's real.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying.
You know, even though it's freaking...
It's the fact that there's a tangible element.
Right. I still know that there's something there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that the actors are interacting with that, as opposed to they're looking at a blue screen. Right. Yeah, they're looking at an X on a blue screen.
I feel for the actors nowadays. How horrible would that be? You're, like, pressured to be this awesome actor, or actress. Sorry, ladies. And, like, all you got is a blue screen. You're having to talk to nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Actually show fear when there's no monster in front of you, you know?
Yeah. It really is difficult, or at least I would assume it would be. You know, that's probably the biggest change right now is the fact that you're just not getting the authenticness that you got in, you know, Sleepaway Camp or any of the Friday the 13th.
And we don't have the icons anymore. Like,
we have what's his face from the Saw movies, but Jigsaw, but eh.
Yeah. But that's about the extent that we have. But mm-hmm. Because back then we had enough of horror and action icons to fill a Halloween, is to make awesome Halloween costumes. This year I'm going to dress up as the cabin in the woods.
I'm going to be the cabin.
Even though I love that movie, I'm just saying there's no icons anymore. You don't have the Jasons or the Michael Myers or the Freddies or the Rambos or the Predators or the, you know, all of them are, like, iconic. I think the last, like, I don't count Jigsaw, because he really wasn't a slasher dude. He just was just the dude in the movie that talked. But
yeah, I mean, he created all those traps and puzzles and everything. But it, you know, didn't, and don't really get me started on the Saw movies, because I've really only seen the first one, but it was like, I don't really need to see any of the other ones because I have no interest in them.
Right. And I'm sure that along down the road, we're going to be like, oh, you guys are just some pretentious dudes, and I love these movies because they're, you know, they were the horror movies when I was in elementary school. And I'll be like, well, I guess that's true. But we're just old grandpas.
No, we are, but damn it, our movies were better.
Yeah, but back to the thing is, like, I think the last iconic horror movie star was Ghostface.
Yeah.
Because he really came in right when basically Freddy had his last movie, which was New Nightmare, which was about 96, which was about the same time that Scream came out.
Yeah, Scream came out the following year, and New Nightmare. Now, there's a movie that deserves its own episode, but in all seriousness, no, you're right. There hasn't really been, you know, aside from Jigsaw, a real iconic movie horror franchise villain to come along in a very long time.
And I miss the kind of positiveness of, like, the safety. Like, you're almost like, what was the point of watching that fucking movie? Like, everybody died. Why did I worry about the whole movie and then even the main character dies? You know, I'm like, there has to be some sort of safety net to where... Because I think that's... Like, I mean, I know they were pushing the buttons and, like, oh, the twist is everybody dies. They're, you know, but they're for a movie to really work, I think that somebody has to live. There has to be, it can't just be, especially if you don't like the antagonist, because you almost root for Jason. You root for Freddy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Jason is almost the protagonist, and the kids are the antagonists that are, like, always fooling Jason's plot of getting them, you know?
Yeah.
But still, I like it that the main character, there's usually a guy and a girl that are free to live through the sequel. The Paranormal Activity movies have really ruined found footage. Not that I didn't hate the first one. I like found footage movies when they're done right. What I like about found footage movies is the same reason I like Buffy and I like Josh Whedon stuff. I like things that start out normal and end up fucked up. That's why I actually liked Cloverfield, and I liked Blair Witch Project. I like that feeling that someone's walking around with the video camera versus it's sitting on and I'm just watching doors close and open. Like, yeah. I liked Cloverfield because it started out in a party and it was kind of lighthearted and it ended up in this fucked up fucking monster, you know? And I thought it was cool. And plus, there's a... when it comes to found footage stuff, is because I walked around with a home video camera all the time. I was like, man, I like these movies because it reminds me of me when I was a kid, you know? That's one of the reasons I really like Blair Witch Project. And I think that whenever there is a found footage movie, it kind of gets put in the back mirror. Oh, it's another found footage movie. But then it ends up, people are setting aside something that might be great just because it's a found footage movie, just because they're setting it with movies like Paranormal Activity, which were kind of have a stigma to them, you know? They're like shows like Ghost Hunters, except they're not nonfiction. I mean, not that I say I believe what happens in Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, I know. The action film and the horror movie are both genres that deserve to be revamped in a way that made them makes them great again. And if that means, you know, it definitely means having to continuously use CG and non-practical effects. But I think that there's a better way to tell the story, and you know, using those effects as opposed to just making the story about this, you know, really interesting looking monster that we can create on a computer now. And so I think something like Pacific Rim, which was very good, should sort of be like a template for how to make an action flick or even a monster movie in the 21st century.
Yeah, or if you take the newest Star Trek movies, which I was really skeptical about, and I haven't seen Into Darkness, which I was actually thinking about watching it tonight. But
it's worth checking out. Just it's not quite as good as the first one, but it's still entertaining.
But I really liked the first one, and I was really skeptical about it because it's a new Star Trek movie with characters that are played by new people. You know, just like I haven't really seen the Rob Zombie Halloween movies because, well, they're Rob Zombie in a Halloween movie, and it's like I'm tired of people remaking movies that are fine on their own. I love Freddy, I love Michael Myers, but I gravitated towards Jason more because he wasn't evil. He never was evil. And that's the thing about it, that Michael Myers is evil.
Yeah.
Krueger is evil. Like, we watched the sixth Michael Myers movie, and...
Oh, the one with Paul Rudd?
Yeah. as horrible of a movie as it was.
Yeah.
Like, you can really see that Jason wouldn't do what Michael did. Jason wouldn't be manipulative. There's a scene where Michael was standing there, and the girl was, like, begging him not to kill her, and he reaches in like he's going to hold her. Like, he's, like, being sympathetic, and then just jabs her onto the spikes and kills her.
Of course.
Jason wouldn't do that. Jason wouldn't manipulate her to think that he cares, because Jason doesn't have that backwards empathy. He can't think like that. That's why he kills, because he don't know any better. He's not going to manipulate people because he don't know how. Some people say, oh, it's stole by from Michael Myers, but there's a scene where people were having sex inside of a RV, and it was bouncing up and down, and Jason trying to figure out why it was bouncing up and down, like a dog, like tilting his head, you know, like he was really curious, and that's why he went in there, is because he was trying to figure out why this car was bouncing up and down.
Right.
And he saw that it was teenagers. He was like, teenagers kill.
Yeah. And, you know, there's that whole theory about how movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th are just sort of these allegories for conservative values because, you know, the teenagers who are fornicating before they're married end up dead, whereas the virgins some usually live. And it's just like, I mean, you could look at it that way if you wanted, or you could just look at it and say, hey, there's a guy out there killing teenagers. Sounds like an entertaining movie to me.
Yeah.
See, Hellraiser, that's another excellent film that has almost in some ways kind of been forgotten by a lot of people, which is unfortunate.
Like, even when you think about movies that are the masterpieces of horror, are still reviewed badly by your more pretentious movie critics, you know?
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because you're like, they're good movies. I mean, today's, like, geek culture really fucking annoys me. Like, it's, like, cool to be geek, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but when I was in high school, like, it wasn't cool to do any of this stuff. Where were you motherfuckers then? You know?
Well, it was starting to kind of come into prominence when we were in high school, but it became perfected after we graduated.
Yeah. Like, you know, like the Geek Week on YouTube. Like, all this shit is like, it's basically just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being an old man. No, I should just jump on the bandwagon and be happy. Everybody really needs to follow us on Twitter if they haven't already, you know?
That is true.
We have we have social networking skills. It's just we don't use them.
We will. We will.
Facebook too. Rock of,
indeed.
Facebook.com/RockofC and Twitter at Rock of C. And I'm going to drink some more.
Yes, you are.
See the sun.